Sach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastromorrow.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Welcome to prime time, bitch!
Good morning, welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5. I'm streaming live on WMFO.org. Welcome to your post-holiday or in-between-holiday edition of the show, post-Thanksgiving. Welcome, Matt.
Happy Thanksgiving.
How was your holiday?
Not bad. Ate too much food. I feel like I'm still in pain from eating food for some reason. So, we'll see. How about you? You were in the Big Apple.
Big trip to New York City.
You saw Goku the balloon.
Yep.
That was exciting.
That's why I went.
Yeah, I loved all the pictures from your trip down to the Large Apple to see the parade. And was it 2 degrees outside that day?
It was pretty cold. It was about right around 20 degrees.
Parade drives me nuts because I just want to see high school bands and I want to see balloons. I don't want to see your Broadway musical. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it at all. Like every Broadway musical is exactly. I hate them.
It was overwhelming.
We're doing a radio show, and then we just spin around, and then that's it. That's the show.
We should do that.
We will. Brutal Brunch the musical coming soon.
I mean, they have SpongeBob and King Kong the musical right now. So
I want to see the Donna Summer musical with my dad. That's the only one that we decided looked good.
But yes, my
because Donna Summer is good, not because musicals are good.
That's a good clarification. No, my niece was in the parade. So if you thought it was hard for spectators to watch in the cold, some of the people in the parade had it much, much harder.
Well, they had to wear,
get up at midnight.
Skirts or whatever.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Crazy.
People look naked.
That's crazy.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Let's just kick things right off with a song. We have another return of another segment this week.
Oh, yeah. It's back.
Yeah, but you have to keep in suspense for that. So let's play a song. We'll regroup here, get ready for our metal history and our other special segments and our other news. The first big year-end list was released November 15th.
Threatened top of the list.
Publication always puts theirs out early now because they always get beaten to the punch by other publications that like to leak it. Anyway, if you want to call in, our numbers are 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, or 781-350-3264. I'll just play a couple older tracks for you from bands that are still around and you can see live. So this band, Summoner, you can see Friday night at once. They're playing with King Buffalo. We're going to play you all the way back to, I believe this is 2012? Yes, 2012. Their album Phoenix came out. I'm going to play Winged Hessians again this summer. Summoner, and you're listening to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO.
We'll be right back.
welcome.
Matt, did you get anything good on
Black Friday?
No. Are you a Black Friday shopper?
Hold on.
Did you not get that?
I did not.
You bastard.
You know, there were several Black Metal Friday sales going on.
Oh, yeah?
I did not get to participate.
That's ridiculous. I didn't get anything. I usually like to walk through the Target at like 7 or 8 in the morning just to see the chaos and then leave. But I didn't even do that this year. Okay, here we go. Metal history this week, November 18th to the 24th. November 18th, 1988. One of the most, one of the saddest stories of 2018, Manowar, November 18th, 1988, releases Kings of Metal, a great album. Kings of Metal, a great song. There's still no kind of update on what the hell's going on with the child porn charges for the guitarist. I don't know. That's not coming through there. I'm in. No. How about is this one? Nope. One sec. How about this? Why is this doing this? Wait. Come on.
Thanksgiving just ruining metal history.
Thanksgiving is destroying the concept of why. What does this mean? Why is this doing this? Other bands play Manowar Kills. Well. yeah. I don't know. Fantastic album. Really depressing. That's what's going on. Other bands play Manowar Kills. November 18th, 97, In Flames releases the album Horacle, a great album. We still can't find In Flames vodka. It'll haunt us the rest of our days.
Really, it's a shame. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just in Sweden.
I mean, we can find it. We just have to go to Sweden to get it. Matt, do you know that the album's name is a portmanteau of whore and oracle?
Really?
And then on there, it's like a special fact. I'm like, yeah, I know In Flames. I'm not an idiot. The producer, here's a story I liked about this album. Producer Frederick Nordstrom said that it was very difficult to record the album since the band members preferred drinking beer and playing Tekken 3 instead of recording, to which I say, same.
I love the detail of Tekken 3 there.
To which I say, same. I mean, it's 97. That's historically accurate. November 21st, 91, grind death metal band Broken Hope releases the album Swamped in Gore. It sounds exactly like you would think. Like I said, this might be an abbreviated metal history this week because we have a favorite segment of mine. Okay. Back. How do you feel about this?
It's all right.
Nope.
When it comes to birth control...
Why are you doing this? Okay. It's just like...
Let me know when the Chromebook
is
ready.
One of those days, bud. All right, here we go. November 21st, 85, your favorite band, Dokken, releases the album Under Lock and Key. Ooh, this is Night of the Hunter. Dokken, one of those bands that, like, if you were... I think I said it before, like, I think if you were... making a movie of what the 80s were supposed to sound like, it would be Dokken. Even though you probably wouldn't pick Dokken off the top of your list, you'd try to say like Madonna, or like that's inaccurate. It sounds like Dokken. It's overwrought hair metal. That's what the 80s sounded like. Now let's close it out with a very interesting find this week for me. November 23rd, 1988, the band Malaya Rage releases the album Kill to Survive. The question, Matt, is have you ever heard of the band Malaya Rage?
I have now.
Malaya Rage refers to some sort of practice of certain Native American tribes of taking opium before they would go into battle. And this band is from Boston. They were a
Boston
power metal, classic metal band. And do you know, and they've literally been going since 88. It's current members, same current members. At one time, very importantly, they featured on drums Sully Erma from Godsmack.
Beautiful.
That's going to do with this week in metal history. It's not a bad album either. Like, they describe it as power metal, which, like, I gotta kind of agree with, but it kind of just sounds like Metallica, because it was 88 and everything just kind of sounded like Metallica.
Yeah, a little bit more.
You know,
a little more power, but yeah.
A little more power-ish, but, like, they're not talking about, there's not enough dragons, there's not enough hope, there's not enough knights, there's not enough,
Not high-pitched enough.
Not high-pitched enough. I guess it's because you're from Boston. You can't hit those high notes. You got to sing down on a low register. But, good album. Malaya Rage. Another fun discovery. Sully Erma.
That is.
Drums.
And I mean, yeah, a couple weeks away, we'll have to bust out the non-Christmas Christmas song that another one of Sully's old bands played.
Can't wait. Okay, the computer is fixed.
Just in time for you to turn it over.
Jesus.
All right. Ready for the cons calendar then?
I am.
This is kind of abbreviated too. It all fits on one page. 2 weeks on one page.
It's the holidays.
I mean, gotta take the holidays back though.
It's the holidays.
Tonight at O'Brien's Pub, you can see The Contortionist along with Intervals at the Paradises at Chirayu. This is a sold out show, people. Thanks to our show.
Oh my
God. It wasn't sold out last time.
Yeah, I feel like people
then we inducted the Chirayu to the Hall of Fame and now it's sold out.
Chirayu invent?
At Paradise. It's Chirayu with Memphis Mayfire, Iceline Kills, and Sleep Signals. On Monday, that's tomorrow, the 26th, it's Amy's Patio, it's Enochian, the Northern Nooseneck, and the Gallows Instance. On Tuesday, November 27th, at once, it's Goat Horde, Black Tusk, Kozum, and Panzer Bastard, probably the big show of the week. On Thursday, at Ralph's Metal Thursday, Dzogna.
Yep.
Don't know how to pronounce that, but it's got to be important because it may or may not be our Black Metal Song of the Week, with Legions of Cease, Light Crusher, and Shunyata. On Friday, November 30th, as I mentioned, it's King Buffalo with Summoner at once. On Sunday, December 2nd, the Palladium, you can see Circus Survive, Loud Dispute, and Queen of Jeans. Tuesday, December 6th at Ralph's, it's a Wilhelm Scream, No Trigger, Smart Bomb, Save Ends, and Foxfires. Friday, December 7th, sorry, that was Thursday, December 6th, that was Metal Thursday, Wilhelm Scream at Ralph's.
Ah!
Friday, December 7th, that was a good one.
Wilhelm Scream, mm-hmm. I just hit it on my soundboard.
Friday, December 7th at Great Scott, you can see Cult Leader, Primitive Weapons, and Godmother. The Tank has the Low Points EP release show with Values, Somewhere to Call Home, Don Gotti, and Marble Mouth. Finally, next Saturday, December 8th at the Palladium, it's Under Oath with Dance, Gavin, Dance, Crown the Empire, and The Plot and You. At Zero Gravity, that's Summer at Berklee Music Hall College, you can see Moontooth, Cryptodera, Chuckernaut, and Sundress. And finally, Shenanigans Pub at Shenanifest 2 with Left Hand Backwards, Seconds from Disaster, Here After Death, Every Enemy Alive, and Crypts. There you go.
Fantastic.
And so now, this week's Black Metal Song of the Week will come courtesy of me.
Thank you.
A band that you can see this week at Ralph's for Metal Thursday, headlining on the 29th, is Dzogna.
Dzogna.
With we are going to play the song Eyes of God off of their release. The remastered version was released on December 20th, 2017. It's the song Eyes of God off the album 5, Treasures of Snow, and you're hearing it on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Thank you.
Go Your Black Metal Song of the Week from the band Zonga.
Zonga.
We looked up to correct ourselves, which is named after a Himalayan demon. But again, that is some local black metal out of Boston. That's your black metal song of the week. That was Eyes of God off the album, Five Treasures of Snow. And now we kick off the show with another local band, obviously, because that's what we do here. That was Summoner with Winged Hessians.
And a third local band, Malaya Ring.
That's right. All right.
We're local again.
We are local. Although we're about to get certainly not local.
No.
With the return of a segment. Mm. Hopefully this goes off without a glitch so everybody can get very excited.
It's time.
All men are created equal.
Yes.
But you look at me and you look at Small Joe and you can see that statement is not true. Don't lie!
And they spell disaster
for you!
The Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week!
This one more, right?
Oh, this one. One of my favorite pieces of production I've ever made. All right, here we go. Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week. Man, if I could have the cord back. Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week this week is surprisingly not Scott Steiner for the 40th week in a row. But it's a person you will probably know, even if you've never watched wrestling a day in your life.
You're probably wondering how I got this bod. 100 collect calls a day with 1-800-CALL-ATT.
That's right, folks. Wrestle of the Week this week, so I can David Arquette. Officer Dewey, Eight-Legged Freaks. Obviously, my favorite thing is 1-800-CALL-ATT, which I thought about the other day and realized it made me sound like I'm a million years old. I was trying to explain to someone. I'm like, yeah, you call 1-800. If you had to call collect, you'd call 1-800. Like, on what? What would I use this for? But there was a whole series of commercials with huge celebrities like David Arquette. So this week's rest of the week, David Arquette, from the car crash era of late era WCW, David Arquette and best friend of all time, Scotty Kahn, were filming the WCW theme movie, essentially, mm-hmm. Ready to Rumble, with Oliver Platt as Jimmy the King Woods. What was his name? He had like a good name. He was basically like Lawler because he was from like the
right
Bayou kind of, but So 2000.
Who's the bad guy in that? Who is he supposed to be fighting?
The bad guys were like.
Well, I know, like
DDP and.
DDP was a bad guy, right? In that, and Sid Vicious. Right?
Sid Vicious. I think Canyon. I think basically the guys who were bad guys in the movie were his friends in the wrestling angle. But yeah, crazy movie. Guys go cross country. It was like wrestling couldn't have possibly been hotter, but WCW was like on the way out because of. Partially because of the huge contracts they'd given the guy, like aging stars like Hogan and Steiners, but partially because of the merger between Time Warner and AOL, and it was just kind of like, this is the end. Like, we don't want.
Yeah,
anymore.
I mean, again, the one of the things that will always be overlooked is that Bischoff was ready. Well, allegedly, but Bischoff was ready to take it back, and Turner was just because Ted was out at that point.
Yeah,
he was the reason wrestling. He was a big wrestling fan from the South.
Yep.
And they were just like, they merged, and they were like, yeah, we don't wrestling
anymore. We don't want wrestling anymore. Yep. Basically, it was the idea. It was like a really business decision. It was like, we don't want this on our networks. So after having beat the WWE or
WWE, also wasn't the one of the best parts about that movie is that they had the Nitro Girls, but then like wasn't Rose McGowan. Randomly
Rose
Nitro
McGowan
girl?
Was a Nitro girl. Yeah.
But there was like all the actual Nitro
there
girls.
There was actual Nitro girls, but then Rose McGowan was the Nitro girl that could act.
Right.
So she could be the love interest for one of the boys, probably Scotty Kahn. So like having beat WWF in the ratings for 84 weeks, as they like to say, was it 97? They started to kind of kept on going up, 98, then the merger, 2000. So after winning, like they say they had $85 million in profit in 99, hit a $15 million loss in 2000.
Because it was the well, you had the Mankind incident when they announced that he was going to win the title. Then that was when WWF passed them in the rankings and ratings and never looked back.
People were excited to see Mankind win.
Yeah, and then the finger poke of doom.
Yep, a lot of bad stuff. I mean, really, like obviously, I think the business is really what did it. But I think the idea of just giving all the money to like Hogan and stuff. I mean, even when WCW was at its like absolute white hot, you know, like you'd watch for the NWO stuff and like for the storyline stuff, but if you were watching for wrestling, you could basically watch the first hour of whatever it was and see the cruiserweights like Eddie Guerrero, because then at main event time it was like, here's like 50-year-old Hulk Hogan versus 50-year-old Roddy Piper,
right?
Like, what am I, insane? Like, it's 1997, I'm not watching this.
I feel like not just the money, but it was like the creative control they gave those guys.
Yeah.
And then like in Jericho's book, he talks about they just didn't pay attention to the cruiserweights.
No, that's why Jericho was allowed. That's why Jericho
became
awesome.
That's why they did whatever they wanted. Yeah,
he could do whatever he wanted. But getting back, so it's important to set the scene. Yes. For
a lot of context,
the death of WCW. They had partnered. They'd made this movie Ready to Rumble. They were promoting the movie. David Arquette is a legitimate huge wrestling fan. He had showed up at a number of Nitros and Thunders. In the crowd to kind of promote the movie.
And he was coming off the Scream franchise, so like people
he was
loved
hot. You think I was joking when I played that stupid 1-800 call commercial, but that was like a legitimate force of culture. Like, that would get parodied on like Saturday Night Live. It's a thing people would yell at each other. It's the dilly dilly of the
first
day.
Wrestling show I ever went to, King of the Ring 2000. There was like a little mini blimp in the Fleet Center for advertising 1-800 Collect.
I don't know what to tell you. It was a force at the time, and Arquette was the man. So he interfered in a couple of matches with on behalf of his friend Diamond Dallas Page. Basically, this is back to Russo booking. Russo had been fired for a while. He came back when the ratings were kind of tanking. Decided to kind of reboot everything, and the theory was, okay, it's going to be new blood. Basically, what it was like, there were so many wrestlers. You could have, like, here's, like, Mr. Perfect, and then here's, like, the younger version of Mr. Perfect. Like, here's the Macho Man, here's the younger version of the Macho Man. So you'd have, like, your new young upstart wrestlers. And
it's
then,
like Billy Kidman and all those guys, right?
Yeah, and then the Millionaires Club, or the Billionaires
Club? I think
it was
the Millionaires Club.
Of, like, Hogan and Sting and Luger and all these guys who've been around forever and ever and ever. So the bad guys were the new guys with Russo and Bischoff with the new blood. And the good guys, Millionaires Club. So that included Diamond Dallas Page. So,
which is totally backwards to begin with.
We had an issue where somehow, because Diamond Dallas Page is the stupidest babyface of all time, he's on stage, and Bischoff and Russo basically goad him into putting the belt on the line in a tag team match. Him and Arquette versus Bischoff and Jeff Jarrett. And that's a huge mistake for the bad guys, because this happens.
There's no referee, guys. There's a kid.
So they're
the
double pinned right now.
He's over towards our kid. 1, 2, 3.
So what happened was, the way they booked it was smart. Like, he didn't like beat a wrestler clean. He pinned Eric Bischoff, not a wrestler. And they had a zany thing where like both guys were getting pinned at the same time. So like Diamond Dallas Page was pinning Jarrett, and Arquette was pinning Bischoff. The ref came in and just counted the Arquette pin instead. Like, I guess that could happen. You know, there's no rule in the book says you can't. Arquette became champion. Obviously, everyone whinged and whined and cried. And to me, it was like the most fun 2 weeks of the end of WCW.
See, I didn't watch WCW. Actually, I didn't have cable at all, so I was watching SmackDown, I think. SmackDown was around that point.
It's fun.
And I remember, for me, the birth of the IWC was the IGN message boards.
Yeah.
And like the IGN Nitro reviews, where they just gave everything monkey butt ratings.
Yes.
And I remember this was like one of the things I was aware of, where the IWC had lost its mind.
IGN message boards were aflame when Arquette won here. Because like... And in fairness, my take is, it's hilarious, it's wrestling, it's make-believe, and it's for entertainment. I think that about most actual sports as well. Like, when people get really serious about, like, baseball stats and stuff, I'm like, it's on the same level as, like, wrestling or, I don't know, Bob's Burgers. It's just entertainment. It really has no meaning. But in fairness to David Arquette, he actually did feel bad about winning the belt because it does have a lineage of history and so forth and so on. And like people who have like put their lives in the line to have this belt, essentially, you know, it's like a career milestone if you're a wrestler who's been toiling and toiling in garages and gyms and high schools. And then all of a sudden, like, this idiot comes in and wins the belt, which it is what it is. But he only held it for 12 days, defending it once against Tank Abbott, where he was saved by DDP and did defend his belt once. But then it turned out it was all a lie. At Slamboree, he defended the belt in a three-tier cage.
That was a triple cage match, right?
Which is from the film Ready to Rumble. But it was a swerve because it was Russo booking, so everyone got swerved. And turns out Arquette was actually working for Bischoff and the bad guys because of reasons. And the next Nitro, they had the most complicated explanation of, oh, we beat him up, but it was fake beating him up. And we're doing it to win your confidence and blah, blah.
Didn't Russo win because he got like speared through the cage and therefore he had like escaped the cage? Or was that a different night?
No, that was literally a couple. That was actually a recent, I think it was like Hell in a Cell or something a couple weeks ago. But no, he pinned him clean.
Because remember Russo was like wearing a helmet and then he was in, like the Popemobile?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but he just pinned him.
Like, okay, there was another night where like he got tackled through a cage and won because he had escaped the cage.
That has occurred. The next night on Nitro, they tried to explain the idea of like how no, it really wasn't the storyline you were actually WCW watching and that we were actually telling you. It was this other storyline that we didn't have any hints of whatsoever until the swerve occurred.
All brought to you by the producers of the New Blood.
Were they throwing trash in the ring at this point?
No, they're just confused. So this is like, so there's good parts of this, like, car crash TV of, like, anything can happen, and then, like, pretty bad parts, because the storyline they were telling is, like, David Arquette is a celebrity. He won by luck. He's only a champion because his friend Diamond Dallas Page is, like, saving him at every turn. The story they weren't telling was this was a devious, and then he would get legitimately wailed on by the bad guys, right? Like, Tank Abbott would try to murder him, or, like, you know, Mike Awesome would, like, try to powerbomb him off the top of the cage. So the storyline is like they're mad that this guy is a champ, but then they're like, no, actually we're all on the same team. Like it's just like a storyline they weren't telling, and then they just decided, which is bad storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a twist. That's just a lie. That's just like a dissemination. The reason why David Arquette, however, is Wrestler of the Week is he has recently come back to actual wrestling. Like he had never trained to be a wrestler. I think while he was in WCW, he did work, in fairness, with whatever, the boys, to like not embarrass himself and not hurt other people. He didn't really do a lot. He basically was just kind of standing around and then like lying down and falling and brawling. But recently he's decided, you know, I'm 47 years old and I'm going to get into wrestling for real, and has been training and doing one shots for like GCW, which is some sort of fed in Canada.
So that's not Global Championship Wrestling or whatever.
It's not Global Championship Wrestling, but it might be. It's unclear. They have some affinity with TNA or Impact or whatever the hell it is. Last week, he had a match with Nick Gage. He was actually a replacement for Joey Ryan because Joey Ryan hurt his back or something. He was there, and he said, "You want to wrestle tonight?" And he said, "Yes." And it was a death match with Nick Gage, who was an ex-convict.
Which I was going to say.
It's part of his act. And, you know, deathmatch wrestling is not something you just kind of casually do, I think, because he ended up having the match. In fairness to him, he did the whole match. They hit each other with light tubes. There's a part of the match where Nick Gage cuts his forehead open with a pizza cutter. You know, they're throwing each other through chairs. They're flipping out of the ring. I mean, he's 50 years old. He's, like, barely wrestled. And Nick Gage is a psycho. And at some point in the match, Arquette goes like a diamond cutter type thing, and I think just like clips the side of his neck where your jugular is on the edge of a light tube and really starts bleeding. He finishes the match. He doesn't like run out of the ring screaming and crying, which is what I would have done. He freeforms in the site, like gets rolled up, and then like runs out of the ring, like just like gushing blood, like a waterfall of blood. And then got into an argument with Nick Cage because he thought it was his fault. And then I think Nick saw him after the show and was like, actually, no, that was your fault. You did this yourself. But David Arquette, because he's the man, basically apologized and said, you know, hey, deathmatch wrestling is not my thing. And I hope he gets better, and I hope he continues to wrestle. David Arquette is our Brutal Brunch Wrestler of the Week.
Well, if our history is any indication, he will soon be
I assume he'll be Impact champion this week.
Well, thank you.
Thank
for,
you.
Not only bestowing that honor upon David Arquette, but also that trip down memory lane of the
I love to talk about
late WCW slash
late era WCW
deathmatch.
When I got the WWE Network, that's the first thing I did was watch the last three pay-per-views, like Sin, Greed, and
Listed Vicious leg injury.
Yep, all of them, all of that crap. Like all, it was just basically Scott Steiner, because he was the only champ left. Him and what's wrong with me? Booker T.
Him, yeah, and then Jarrett was still around, right?
Of course.
And then it gave us TNA.
Thank God.
Excellent. All right. So this is good. We fit in, like, in the last couple months, every special segment of the show before the year is up.
It's good to be back.
And speaking of the year being up, when we come back, we'll talk about either the greatest story of metal of the year, or we'll break down the top 40 list that's come out, Decibel's top 40 list.
I haven't even seen
top 40 albums. All right. So I mentioned that you can go to the Low Point CD release show, or EP release show. That's a free show at the Tank on Friday, December 7th. And we're going to play you a new track off their new EP called The Game. The EP is called Pursuit of Nothing. And we'll play it for you here on Brutal Brunch WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Raise $5,000 to continue to keep your freeform station playing your favorite music. WMFO is a nonprofit station with staff, students, and community members who volunteer their time to bring you their favorite music and shows. We need your support to keep it all running, so donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check payable to trustees of Tufts College. Send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you for your support from all of us here at your Freeform Station, 91.5 WMFO.
Welcome back to Brutal Brunch here, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Sorry, a website came up and said, what killed Skate Punk?
That's the eternal question.
It was me.
It was me all along.
It was me all along.
You just heard Wilhelm Scream, another throwback track. That was the ripoff of their album Mute Print.
That was fun.
You can see those guys, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, December 6th. Yes, it is December already. At Ralph's. God. They are playing along with No Trigger, Smart Bomb, Save Ends, and Fox Fires.
Firefox, Mozilla.
And before that was Low Points, The Game. That was off their brand new EP, Pursuit of Nothing, which they are releasing at a special free show, the following night, December 7th. So there you go.
New metal. Is that what they said?
That's what they self-described as new metal.
Hey, you know? It's hard to be
about that life.
It's hard to be the tip of the spear here, a Brutal Brunch bringing new metal back, but you know, I'll take it.
All right. So, do you want to talk about Threaten or Decibel's Top 40?
I haven't seen Decibel's Top 40, but maybe we can do a little bit of both.
All right.
Cuz like there hasn't been much new news on Threaten.
Apparently another musician spoke out recently to say he would work with Justin Threnton.
I would work with Justin Threnton. The
So we haven't talked about this yet, I don't think.
We kind of like glanced over it in like a news thing. You were like, hey, this thing happened. And I'm like, what? And then like weeks later, now it's getting more, like more and more is unraveling. The more you like poke at this, this whatever you want to call it, this onion.
Saga.
Unravels. Yeah, so Threnton basically fake band, essentially.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. It's not a fake band. It is a real band.
It's a real band with fake acclaim purchased on social media, right? Like, he just bought followers on Twitter. They bought Instagram likes. They bought Spotify plays. They all sorts of weird stuff.
But they bought, like, Facebook likes and Facebook attendees.
Yeah.
But essentially, this guy, and the last time I checked in, it was unclear on how much his wife was in on it, but so basically built up this whole fake, there was fake marketing team, fake like record label, all stuff like that. He somehow so he sent all this stuff out to a bunch of European promoters, and see, this is like the biggest thing in the story, is that a lot of these people should hold themselves accountable for believing it, because they bought it. So essentially they got contacted by some management company.
A fake
management company.
What was the Trump thing where he'd call himself like Major Johnson when he'd be his own fake PR guy?
It was like, yeah, so we sent these videos where they were doctored videos where like it would be close-ups of him playing and then like crowd shots from some other concert, making it seem like there are all these people.
It's like a crowd shot from Sao Paulo and he's in like some, some like nightclub.
And all these fake likes and whatever. They're like, okay, let's book this guy. And the management company claimed that they had 200 tickets sold or whatever. So he would show up and the venues would open and there would be 14 people there to see the bands. And it would
like
be the other, no, it'd be the other band's friend. It would be like,
oh my God.
Like they got to open up, it would be like their friends. There was one show, there was one person who paid for a ticket to show up and watch.
Did you enjoy the show?
Yes, it was very nice. But, I think it started in the UK and then word started getting out to all like, so then all the venues in like Germany and everything.
But he's been like real like Phantom of the Opera about it, because he's like, you see, I've peeled back the mask of reality.
He's
making this into his gimmick.
Well, it was also interesting because like Metal Sucks, of course, has been all over this.
Sure.
They've been interviewing the band members, and one of the guys was like, yeah, like I posted some kind of solos, some stuff I was doing on YouTube, and I got contacted by this like fake management company being like, hey, do you want to come to LA and do a European tour and play with this guy? And he's like, sure. And like, so he went there, he met Justin Threnton, that's the guy's name, and they played and rehearsed. So like, he's like, there were some things in hindsight that maybe you should check into, like I think the way some of the booking happened, but otherwise he's like, basically they had a huge investment in this con, like to make it look like as legit as possible. Even the musicians were like, this, okay, let's do it. And
it's a band.
I mean, they went over, they got tickets to Europe, and they were playing these shows. So it's like, again, it was all actually happened. Like, the band was an actual thing, but everything behind it was made up.
So, but like, much like Eric Bischoff or Vince Russo, like, it's a swerve, but to what end? Like, so, like, he accomplished this, and, like, maybe some concert promoters in Europe look a little dumb, but where does he go from? I guess, like, now he's a celebrity.
A lot of free publicity, yeah.
Yeah, like, now, like, I've heard of the Justin
Well, Threat. Not free publicity, I should say.
No, it's expensive publicity, but, like, I guess I've heard of him, but I don't know if I'm necessarily interested in, like, I actually am. I'm fascinated in listening to what Threnton sounds like. I have tried to find some of it, and it sounds kind of like just thrash, kind of.
Well, and then Metal Sucks went on this whole thing where they traced his whole history back to, like, a previous death metal band he was in, and all sorts of craziness and shenanigans. And then at one point, I haven't really been following it since then, but then it took a very depressing turn because they were on Facebook and like the last comment was from his father being like, hey, haven't heard from you in 2 years.
No,
like,
Justin.
What's anybody? So I guess he has a brother, Justin's brother, and his brother, who's also a musician, is like, yeah, this kid sucks. And he's not
like
in the family, like estranged from the family. We haven't heard from him or whatever. So yeah, he and his wife just like went off on their own.
Damn. It's a hard way to the top if you want to rock and roll, as they say. Or a long way to the top. I didn't put AC/DC on this week's history to make try to be friends. That story's wild. I don't know. Like I kind of want more to come out of it, but I think it's all come out. I think we've squeezed that.
I believe it's their bassist came this week. He's like, yeah, I would work with him again, but I haven't read the interview yet.
I guess. I mean, like, hey, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just don't know. But like, were the other bands that were opening for them, did they have their own? Like, could how come they
I assume those are just
tickets?
Local bands picked up by the venues or whatever, by the promoters.
Yeah, but how come Like, I've been there. I've been in that scenario before where I want to see the opener more than the...
I thought you were going
to
say you've opened for...
I've opened for Threaten. I did a comedy opening for Threaten. No, like, even, like, the local bands, like, wouldn't they have, like, local fans then? Like, why didn't they go?
I mean, the idea of going to a zero... The fans that showed up were for them. And, I mean, it was pretty much low. I mean, we're not talking, like, House of Blues type shows. It's probably, like, what you'd see at O'Brien's.
Okay. Yeah. It's also funny the way they, the European tour, like, they're not in the O2 arena, you know, they're in, like, a bar.
Yeah.
But still. Anyway, Threaten. Greatest story of the year. Feel good story of the year. I'm sorry he's having problems with his family, I guess.
All right. So, we can hold out. We can save the decibel stuff for later.
Yeah.
Let me see.
There was a cartoon list that got me fired up because it said BoJack Horseman was the best cartoon of all time.
Do you agree?
No, absolutely. No. That's crazy.
Are you a BoJack Horseman fan?
I've seen a couple episodes.
Are you yay or nay?
It's not the best cartoon of all time. That cartoon where Betty Boop sees the skeletons dance.
All right. Anyway, on that note, we will wrap up with which band would you like to hear? You can see both
more
of these bands
skate
this week.
Punk.
Do you want a band that you can see at Zero Gravity? Or would you like to see a band... Sammy's Patio tomorrow night.
Sammy's Patio.
All right. Let's do that then. We will play you the Gals instance. And you can see this band tomorrow night at Sammy's Patio playing with Enochian, Lenorthan, and Newsneck. And we will be back in 2 weeks. We only have two shows before Christmas.
My God.
We have one show, and then we have our Christmas Spectacular show.
Making a list and checking it twice.
Very exciting.
Write your letters to Santa, Matt.
I'll read done.
All right. Read your Christmas letters on the air.
Here is the Gallows Instance. They put out an album. Actually, I believe this is an older album, though it just got put on Bandcamp this year. But it is called Black Mass, not to be confused with the local band Black Mass. But this is the album Black Mass from the Gallows Instance and the song Dream Eater. And you've been listening to Brutal Brunch at WMFO Med for 91.5 FM. Streaming live on WMFO.org.